So pivoting a little bit, now that we've got niches down, we've got some lead generation stuff in, we start talking about what to do with some of that extra money, right? If you're doing everything right, you've got a little bit of that coming in. So, you should be buying your own product is like kind of an interesting statement to me. Can you elaborate on how investing in real estate as an agent not only boosts your portfolio, but also enhances your professional credibility?
Yeah, absolutely. So it gives you firsthand and direct knowledge of that facet of real estate investing, right? So when you have clients coming to you who are looking to do a 1031 from out of state, or they're looking for off-market rehab opportunities, like you actually have knowledge to share with them on how it works in our community. Here's the list of contractors I would recommend, all those things to share with them. And you're a pro, so you sound like a pro. I think that especially right now, everyone's running for the hills. Interest rates are blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm just, if I hear that word one more time, I swear to God. But like, it's such a good opportunity to buy right now because you have so much negotiation room with the seller. It's unbelievable. Like, even new construction, like, I'm closing on a new construction on Thursday or Wednesday, Thursday. And that builder offered my buyer $35,000 in concessions. I'm sorry, but you couldn't get anywhere near that 2 years ago. And you'll probably never see it again. And it's like, why are you not taking full advantage of that opportunity? Like, who cares if the rate's high? Like, if you can swing it and it's not making you totally house poor and you can't pay for your kids' daycare, like, go for it. Because when the rates come back down, you like think of it as like a football field. And everyone's on the sidelines, like all the teams, all the special teams, and the offense and the defense, and they're all there, and they're all like just rearing to go. And then as soon as the ref blows the whistle, rates come down, people are going to charge, and it's going to be a feeding frenzy all over again. And what happens when demand goes sky high? Prices go sky high. So yeah, maybe rates will be like 5.5 or high fours, and that's great. But you just spent like 10% more on that house. So like if you buy today, when that happens, your house will be worth 10% more, and then you can refi into a better rate. And so then you're going to spread your equity even farther. And if you had to like take on PMI because you couldn't do 20% down, well, guess what? Now you get to drop that PMI because you get to take advantage of the appreciation of the equity just by owning a house and literally doing nothing else. That's it. You own a house, you get money, the end. It's like, so I bought a rental property. Well, I bought one last year and this year, so two. And the rates aren't stellar, but who cares? Like, I'm not in it for a stellar short-term return. Those are long-term holds for me, and I understand that. So I'm okay with paying a higher rate because when rates come down, I'll refi, my equity will spread. I could probably pull a line of credit or something and then go buy something else. Because I will have earned all of that equity just by owning the property. And that's something you can't do by waiting. And everybody else is waiting. So you want to do what everybody else is not doing. That's how you become the top 10% or the top 1%. The 10% is not the majority, just in case you didn't notice. Right?
And I think it's especially coming from like an investment standpoint, like if it's cash flowing, who cares what
Right.
the interest rate could be 50. I don't care. If it's cash flowing a decent amount, that is a smart strategy. I mean, obviously if it gets to 50, that probably wouldn't be for other reasons. But
I don't know if anybody would be buying then. That'd be a tough market.
But if it cash flows above and beyond what you're putting into it and the hassle is worth that cash flow,
Right.
then that's a strong idea, you know? And, you know, they always say too, the best time to buy property was 10 years ago. Look at any
Oh,
10
totally.
year gap in history. As long as you didn't pick a 10 year gap where you bought it at a decent rate and then sold in 2008, 9 when everything was crashing, like that's
Yeah.
the only time you lost, the only time. You know, so as long as you purchase smartly, I always think that's a good idea.
And that crash was an outlier. Like most crashes, like we see tons of market shifts doing this all the time, and people don't even notice it. They don't even feel it. And so that one's talked about because it was just an outlier. It was an anomaly. And but I will tell you, during that whole thing, when that market crashed, rents stayed the same or went up. So if you own assets that benefit from inflation, and you own assets that benefit from holding long term like that, like there's no way you're not going to come out ahead. There is never a bad time to buy real estate.
I agree 100%. So what advice would you give to agents who are new to real estate investment in general, and how can they effectively balance their role as an agent and also as an investor?
Yeah, good question. So if you're new as an agent and you're thin on liquid cash, I would look into some creative financing options to start your portfolio. There's tons of YouTube and there's tons of Instagram on how to do sub twos, how do you do seller financing, how do you do, like you mentioned, lease options earlier, you know, wraps, all the things, wholesaling, look into that, maybe join some REITs meetings in your local area. And then if you do have liquid funds, just start buying. I mean, just put your 25% down and buy a property. You know, get a tenant in there. They'll do the rest. I mean, it's not hard to acquire properties once you get going. I think initially it's just that knowledge block where you're just like, I don't know how. And so, I mean, YouTube is fantastic for all of that. It's like just a never-ending encyclopedia, whatever you want to learn. And you just go find a coach on YouTube. I use that term loosely. Find a channel host on YouTube who resonates with you and who's got the knowledge and the information that you want. Maybe pick up a couple of books, start following Bigger Pockets. I mean, there are so many resources out there to learn how to do this stuff. I'm reading a book right now by Pace Morby, The Wealth Without Cash. I mean, it's literally how to grow your investment portfolio with like no money out of your pocket. And that sounds like so woo-woo and that's not possible. It's totally possible. And it's just, you just don't know what you don't know. And so I guess those would be my things. Also align yourself with an agent who does know about investing and who has invested. So they can become your unofficial mentor and kind of show you the ropes, give you some awesome feedback and critical, you know, conservative feedback. And maybe give you some advice on, man, maybe this property, this is how you crunch numbers. This is how you underwrite a property. This is how you make sure that this is a good investment, you know, that kind of stuff. Because you need to know that too. You don't want to get in a bad investment right off the bat.
Right. What is the main type of investment or strategy that you generally like to go after? And do you diversify, you know?
Yeah, I have a duplex and I have a condo. I know people don't buy condos a lot for rentals just because of the HOAs, but this one in particular, I mean, it was such a good deal. I couldn't say no, and the dues are relatively low. So it still cash flows. So I have those two. I have my primary. I'm going to be building an ADU on my property. So I think moving forward, I'm going to be focusing on multifams because you get more bang for your buck. And then probably getting into, like, if I can pick up some single families on a sub two and have those as tenants, that'd be great. We have a fantastic market for midterm rentals here. We have a brand new, you know, billion-dollar hospital that's brought in employees from all over the country. We have, like I mentioned earlier, the only new refit facility on the West Coast. We get a ton of temp orders there. So traveling nurses, military, we have Amazon, we have Microsoft, Nintendo, Boeing. We have all these really, really large corporations here that people need housing. So, you know, you align yourself with a corporate housing, like a relocation from a corporation. So say Amazon's building a new warehouse and they need to send out 100 guys to build it, but they're only going to be here for 6 months. Well, those guys need somewhere to live. So you contact Amazon and you're like, hey, I have this house. It's got 5 bedrooms. I'll rent it to you. You know, you can rent it, put 5 guys in it, put 8 guys in it. You have them double up in the rooms or whatever for like $4,000 a month. And they're like, cool, where do I sign? Because that's cheaper than any other corporate housing gig, right? And so, I mean, that benefits them and it benefits you because if you were to rent that house out as a long-term rental, you'd only be able to rent it for like 28. So now you like, it's a win-win for everybody, and these guys get a house. They don't have to stay in a hotel. You know, it's kind of an awesome idea. So why not? Why not take advantage of that and make it a win for everybody?
It's like forcibly house hacking it, you know?
Yeah, right.
Inviting somebody else to house hack it for you.
Totally.
Have you run into any conflicts of interest whenever you're searching for something? Maybe you have a client at the same time and you've got to give one up.
Yeah, so our licensing law prevents us from writing an offer for the same property for two different clients.
Oh, that's
So
good.
if my client wants to write up a property I'm looking at, they come first.
Okay.
So I will secede and they get first crack. If they don't get it, then, of course, my turn. But, and then as a licensed broker, even if we're doing off-market deals or we're doing stuff outside the MLS forms, like, so say I go to buy a property sub two and I'm not using our MLS forms, I'm using like a lawyer-generated contract, I still have to disclose in there somewhere that I'm a licensed broker, even though I'm not acting in that capacity. So just getting like circumventing that, because a lot of times that'll throw up a red flag with the seller of the property, because then they're like, oh, you're just trying to like put a sign in the yard. Like, no, I'm not. Like, I'm not trying to put a sign in your yard. If I was trying to list your house, I just would have said that. So getting around that might be a little challenging, but as soon as they understand, like, I'm just disclosing this for licensing,
Legalities and stuff.
all those things. Compliance. That's the word I was looking for.
I had one of my past clients do the same thing. I found a great rental. I was about to make a purchase on it, and they were like, "Oh, this one's perfect." And I'm like, "Well, it is." I kind of threw it to them. They ended up getting it. Renting out way more than I thought it would, almost $1,000 a month
Oh,
instantly,
that sucks. You're
overnight.
like, oh, that would have been great.
Yeah, especially for something like it was an under $200,000 property, instantly
Wow.
$1,000, like insane.
That's
And
crazy.
I'm like, man, I can't believe I gave that up. And then I just saw it listed on the MLS about a month ago, and I'm like, you have to be kidding me. I
Bummer.
called her up. I'm like, what are you doing? She ended up being an agent of mine, and then she stayed here for a while and left and stuff.
Gotcha.
And
Okay.
I'm like, what are you doing? Like, this is such a good rent. This is the greatest rental I've
Now you
ever
can try
seen.
it again. You have another chance.
Yeah, but now it's priced appropriately.
Exactly. That's the deal, is you gotta pay market value for it.
So, in your opinion, what common misconceptions do agents have about real estate investing, and how can they overcome those misconceptions to get started?
I guess a common misconception would be it's too hard, or you need a ton of money to do it, or you don't have the right contacts. And these are all beliefs that I used to have. And so, that's where I'm just pulling from. I used to think that you had to run in these super affluent circles, that kind of thing. But the more you learn, the more you realize that those were just, I don't know, who knows where those beliefs came from, books, TVs, movies, like whatever. But that it is ultimately super attainable. And I think that the reason more people don't do it is because it can be a hustle. It can be a grind. I mean, you have to be really consistent. The difference between, grinding and as like prospecting for clients to buy and sell homes in your real estate business versus grinding for that is that you're actually actively going to increase your net worth with every deal, right? Whereas by helping people buy and sell homes, while that is important and while that is a necessary income stream, maybe it takes five or eight deals worth of income to now reinvest into an investment property. You know what I mean? So it's the returns a lot more when you're doing it for yourself.
And it's like a revolving door when it comes to sales, right? Like if you're not putting anything for the long term, which is so wildly popular in real estate, I don't know what it is. A lot of real estate agents just don't look at their future. But like that's what sales are. It's a revolving door, whereas buying the property stops at revolving door. That's like the long-term growth.
It's yours. Yep. You are
Yeah.
the owner. You have control over it. It's a wild ride for sure.
Well, I think this is great. I think this is giving people a lot of nuggets. I hope that people that are listening not only got something out of the lead generation and the niches portion, but also in maybe it's clicking a light bulb for somebody going, "Oh crap, like I should be investing into the product that I'm purchasing, you know."
Yeah,
So
100%.
hopefully, Yeah,
And if
hopefully
your
that.
market, like if your market isn't good, like start reaching out to other markets. Like I would love for you to reach out to me to invest in Bremerton, Kitsap County. I think we have a fantastic rental market here. And if I wanted to purchase down there, like I'd be calling you. So like you're not limited to your market. The relationships we have go a lot farther than, hey, I have a referral headed your way. It's like, hey, I want to invest in your market. I need a property manager. I need a contractor. I need to know the local municipalities and the legislation as far as like short-term rentals. Like you need to know all that stuff. So I'm going to contact the local area and subject matter expert, i.e. Andrew, if I'm looking in your area, right? So it's, I mean, these relationships are very broad and you can take full advantage of all of them.
I agree. So hopefully, that hits a light bulb for somebody. And I guess our closing thoughts here are, how can people find you if you want to be found? And anything else that you want to share with the audience?
Yeah, so you can go to my YouTube channel, Living in Bremerton Official. Subscribe there. It's got all my socials. I'm on the Facebook as Cassandra Lopez, Instagram, Bremerton Broker, all these places. So if you, I have a landing page with all of my socials on it somewhere. I know that's so unhelpful. But
Yeah,
if you just go one of, what's that?
send that to me. We'll make sure it's in the
Okay. Yeah, for
in the
sure.
comments section.
I can do that.
Cool. Well, awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think this was very
Yeah.
valuable and I appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, thank you. I love your questions and I would love to do this again.
Yeah, absolutely. And there you have it. Valuable insight straight from the expert's mouth. Thank you so much, Cassandra, for coming on. We hope that today's episode has armed you with actionable strategies to conquer niches, supercharge your lead generation, and seize real estate investment opportunities around you. Remember that success in this dynamic industry starts with knowledge and implementation. So stay tuned for more empowering content on our next episode. And until then, keep building, growing, and thriving in the world of real estate.